You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialized fantasy and science fiction stories written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This week, we're on part 5 of Fake Geek Girl, a novelette in 10 parts, previously published in Review of Australian Fiction, Volume 14, Issue 4, in May 2015. Part 5. Hebe and the Magical Fire Alarm Meet Cute. Sunday. I had no idea why Sage and Holly were fighting. Something to do with the band. They'd fought about me once, long ago, around the time of the most chill breakup ever told, and I'd made them swear that they would never do that again. So usually when their tempers spark up, it's a creative differences thing. I knew I should have banged their heads together yesterday after the disastrously uncomfortable comfort lunch. But hiding meant spending time with Phoenix Boy, aka Ferdinand. I was weak. I chose a cute boy over making peace between my sister and my Sage. I should have known that meant I was also choosing a cute boy over a good night's sleep. Our fire alarm plus volatile emotions equals a recipe for disaster. The Manic Pixie Dream House contains 6 people of varying degrees of magic, from mine, mild, inoffensive, to Holly's, volatile and dramatic, all the way to Sage's, may someday be weaponized by the government. Add to that the various people who sleep over, May's ex-girlfriend, Sage's various hookups. He tends to be drawn to men with powers as ridiculously overloaded as his own, which I used to think was a weird coincidence until I found out he had an app for that. Oh my God. Holly's terrible temporary partners. Her last boyfriend was so vile that May and I invented a new language to talk about him behind his back. Juniper on the nights she crashes on her couch. Nora when she's visiting, etc. We take all the precautions that we can. We wrap and charm our modern tech so it doesn't glitch too much against the magical vibes. We use enchanted alternatives, and yes, those of us whose magic isn't vital to our sense of identity do sometimes drink a cup of coffee to drown it all out. But still, rental properties in Australia legally require a dual fire alarm system, magical and technological. These are traditionally unreliable, as is any system combining magic and technology. Added to that, we have Sage, who can't leave any system alone and has a tendency to add his own, let's say, improvements. Oh, and the thing detects smoke, okay, and fire, but it also gets oversensitive about turbulent magical vibrations, or if there's a build-up of fire or air magic in the atmosphere, or if 2 or 3 high-powered magic users are having a bad night's sleep at the same time. Once, on a supremely embarrassing occasion, we're pretty sure it reacted to the fact that energetic sex was happening in 4 of the 6 bedrooms of the house. This time, I felt it early, a deep shiver of a warning that filled my room with a warm green light. Pink sparkles in my mouth. There's only one thing in the world that tastes like pink sparkles. Fire alarm! I yelled and scrambled up out of bed, stopping only briefly to check that I was wearing nice pyjamas that weren't completely gross, because there's survival and then there's the possibility of being embarrassed in front of that boy you like, before I cannonballed out of my bedroom. I met May on my way out, carrying her emergency padded bag full of laptops and her other emergency padded bag full of mirrors. She stopped to shake Juniper, who'd crashed on our couch last night, while I woke up my sister, who sat up with her long hair bursting around her scalp like a dandelion cloud of static electricity. "I'm going to kill him," Holly hissed like a snake, and charged out of the flat, dressed only in a pair of Belladonna Bunyip's boxer shorts and a 2 small Bromances t-shirt she'd stolen from me because she liked the design. We made it outside before the first intense sweep, which is designed to seek unintended heat sources and snuff them out, but to humans feels like a magical skin peel. Deck and Sage burst out the back door a few minutes after us, gasping and shaking, because they'd been caught in the tail end of the sweep. Ick. I tried to sleep through the damn thing once, and it felt like someone had transformed my back teeth into shattered barley sugars. "Where's Ferd?" I yelled at them, because they'd apparently abandoned their new roommate to the inhumane terrors of the fire alarm, which was now bathing every room in a piercing blue light that comes with a fun anti-flame steam, so hot it makes anyone with magical senses want to claw their own face off. Ferdinand Chauvelin walked calmly out of the house in a beautiful satin dressing gown, as if nothing very exciting was happening. It was at that point that I suspected he wasn't actually human. "Don't worry about it, mate," said Sage, picking himself up off the grass. "Only another 10 minutes, we can go back inside." "If you say so," said Ferd, yawning. Being stuck outside for a fire alarm is a surprisingly popular theme for fanfic meet-cutes, said May out of nowhere. "It's not up there in popularity with coffee shop AUs or non-magical boarding schools, but it's gaining traction as a trope." "Ugh," said Holly. It started to rain. "Ugh," said Holly. And this time it was directed straight at Sage. Ferd came over next to me and opened an umbrella. "I thought we might need this." I smiled sweetly and managed not to say, "How are you so perfect?" because that would have just been embarrassing. We stood there in the rain, watching our house explode into a rainbow variety of colours while it made absolutely certain that nothing was on fire. "Ironically," said Deck, "that one time we actually did set the stove on fire, it didn't make a peep." "I always feel so safe when I stay here," Juniper sighed. Later, when May was toweling off her hair, before we all went back to bed, she asked me, "Have you spotted it yet?" "Spotted what?" I asked defensively. "Any imperfection that'll allow you to treat Ferd like he's a human being instead of some weird godlike creature you put on a shelf and stare at from very far away." "Don't, that just makes me sound creepy." May could be relentless when rain-soaked and annoyed. "We're all shipping the two of you, but if it takes much longer, we're going to get bored and start slashing him with Deck instead." I stared at her, open-mouthed. "Deck's straight. Why wouldn't you slash him with Sage?" "Slashing him with an actual gay bloke is no fun at all. It's practically cheating." Holly huffed impatiently. "I don't know what you're talking about, because I thought shipping and slashing was the same thing, but I don't care. There's a pretty obvious imperfection if you're looking for one." "I'm not," I said automatically. "But, what? Isn't it obvious? He doesn't respond to magic at all. He's a null."